good to see you all out this evening. I see I didn't run everybody off this morning. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. He's so good. The Holy Ghost is so good. Here we are in Mayville, New York. I believe we're in New York, right? Mayville. So I was praying, meditating, and today the Lord began to deal with me about something that He said in 2007 to me. And I really hadn't done with it what He told me to do. And He said, it's time to get on the job. You know, but He is, thank God, He's patient with us and He'll put up with us. But I had an experience where I was kneeling down praying in a church over in Athens, Georgia. You know where Athens, Georgia is at? That's east of Atlanta, Georgia. It's home of the Georgia Bulldogs football team, college team, you know. And I was kneeling down in this church praying, and I was going to speak. It was on a Saturday afternoon, and I was on the second chair from the end on this side, and it was approximately 1:30 in the afternoon. And so in order to have this experience, you got to be in Athens, Georgia. You got to be on the front row, the second chair from the end, kneeling down on the carpet. And I was praying about the services. I wasn't even thinking about along the lines that the Holy Ghost was about to speak to me about. But as I was kneeling down praying, suddenly it was as if somebody come up and put a coat on me. I mean, it felt like, you know, you can tell when you put a coat on, it's kind of heavy, you know, a bigger jacket, you know, a coat, any kind. And I thought, well, what is that? Is somebody in the church? Is somebody come in here and bother me? Is some of the pastor's sons, you know, and they wouldn't do that. But, you know, they can be kind of special at times. Did they do that? And I knew them, you know, from the time as little boys, you know. But they was on up some then. But I said, did they come in here? So I've done the old Pentecostal peek. You know how you do the Pentecostal peek? You look spiritual, you know what I mean? But you peek out of the side of your eye while you're praying. And I looked, and I didn't see anybody. So I done the Pentecostal peek out of the other side, and I didn't see anybody. So by this time, I'm out of the spirit. I don't sense the weight anymore, nothing. I thought, well, it's just my imagination, you know. So it took me, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, and I got back in the spirit. And again, I sensed the heaviness like somebody had put a coat on me. And I thought, what in the world is this? What's going on? And so by this time, to make a long story longer or shorter, you know me, I can do it both ways. But by this time, I had thought about it. And this took place over a period of 10 to 15 minutes, you know, so it wasn't just a few seconds. But I decided, well, you know, I'm just going to look around, you know, and see if there's somebody in here. And so I picked my head up, you know, from where I was on my knees, and I looked around the church, and I looked around, you know, empty seats and everything else. And I thought, well, I'm the only one here. I'm the only one. What's going on here? So I put my head back down, started praying again. And I don't like to be bothered while I'm praying, you know what I mean? And didn't realize the Lord was bothering me, but I was about to find out. He bothers us sometimes. And so, don't base your life on experiences. Don't pray to have an experience. I wasn't praying to have experience. I didn't know I was going to have experience, because if you get to basing your life on experiences, you'll think God is not with you if you don't have an experience. God is with us whether we have an experience or not. We walk by faith and not by sight. So I wasn't praying to have an experience. I didn't know I was going to have an experience. Had never had an experience like that before then, nor since then. Not that type of experience. But some people think that you have experiences like this and you just have them every day or every week, every month. But I hadn't had one since then. Hadn't had one before 2007, hadn't had one since 2007, and that's been a fur piece back there too then. Isn't that right? Fur, F-U-R, fur piece, you know, back there. So I got back down, you know, put my head back down, and it took me probably about 5 minutes, and I got back in the Spirit, praying in other tongues, and again, I sensed the heaviness of the anointing. And I just, right out of my spirit, I realized it must be the Lord. You know, miracles do happen. You know what I mean? And it was miraculous that I realized that this must be the Lord. And I'm having a spiritual experience. Even though it seems physical, it wasn't physical. There was no physical evidence of a coat on me whatsoever. But this is what the Lord said. When I acknowledged Him, I said, Lord, are you speaking to me? He said, I want you to go back and pick up the revelations and visions that I spoke to Kenneth E. Hagin, who you call Dad Hagin. And he said, I want you to read them. I want you to study them. I want you to practice them. And I want you to preach them as I tell you to. He said, for many have laid them to the side. Some have forgotten about them. And a great faction have gone as far as to despise what I said. He said, especially where I appeared to him in vision format. He said, I want you to go back and pick those revelations up. Those revelations are true, ladies and gentlemen. So I realized what the Lord was saying. And so from that day, I started picking them up, but I hadn't been perfect at it. You know what I mean? So tonight, we're going to go through some of them. Is that all right? By direction of the Holy Ghost. I mean, I didn't think this up, but by direction of the Holy Ghost. And I'd encourage the family church ministers to get a hold of this. You know what I mean? Encouraging. You're that kind of folks anyway. Encouraging. I know some couldn't be with us tonight, but I'd encourage you. And then this is something else the Lord said. Are you ready? He said this to me this afternoon, early evening. Well, I was just meditating, praying, seeking the Lord, saying, Lord, what do you want to do? He said, encourage the ministers. This is what he said. Encourage the ministers to go back where I spoke to the seven churches in the book of Revelations, in Revelations chapter 2, Revelations chapter 3. He said, read and study those things. He said, because I'm going to deal with my people today on the same principles that I dealt with the seven churches in that day. He said, those principles have not passed away. So I'd encourage you, if you're in the ministry, to go back and do that. I've got to do it myself. I made a stab or two. You know what making a stab at something? I made a stab or two, attempted to. In fact, I even started to preach on the seven churches. But somehow or another, I just never got everything I should out of it. So I just didn't do it. So I'm going to let you do it and I'll listen to you. But he said that to me this afternoon. The seven churches, encourage especially the ministers. It would behoove us all to go back and study the revelations that I spoke to the seven churches and begin to preach and teach them. He said, the same principles where I dealt with those seven churches at that era, he said, I'm going to deal with my people today. So if you want to find out what the Lord is saying to the church today, find out what he said to the seven churches back then. Listen, he said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. That doesn't mean that he doesn't say different things and speak in different ways than he did during that time. But the principles remain the same. The Lord God always moved according to a pattern, a purpose, and a plan. A pattern, purpose, and a plan. Always. So what we want to do tonight, by direction of the Holy Ghost, we're going to follow the Holy Ghost, right? We was waiting for this day. We was waiting for the Mayfield manifestation. Amen. Turn to Acts chapter 2, since you're so excited. Thank God for it. You're people that's hungry for God, isn't that right? Wonderful pastors and ministers of the gospel. We appreciate your pastors here. We appreciate their integrity. We appreciate that they practice what they preach. They actually believe the Bible. Can you believe that? They believe what the Bible says. I encourage you. Pray for your pastors. Lift them up. Because I'll guarantee you they're lifting you up. Don't get me excited. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Where'd you tell me to turn to anyway? Acts chapter 2. So it'd be before Romans. But in Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? And Peter got a revelation. I believe he got it that day. A revelation about this is what Joel prophesied hundreds of years ago. In Joel chapter 2, you go back and read that later in the book of Joel. In Acts chapter 2, verse 16, but Peter, nobody knew what was going on. They were speaking in tongues. People thought they were drunk from drinking wine, and they wasn't. They was filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Notice this, young men see visions, and old men dream dreams. That's why I'm staying in the vision department. You know you're young as long as you're having a vision. And of course, your question is, why does God give old men, it says old men shall have dreams, shall dream dreams. Why does he give old men dreams? Because they can't keep Papa awake long enough to give him a vision. Amen. Grandkids are hopping all over the place and running. He's sitting over the chair snoring. You know what I mean? So God has to speak to him in a dream. Well, that's my opinion. God may look at it a different way, you know. But verse 18, he says, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I'll pour out my spirit. I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. But notice, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and prophesy. So we have dreams and visions and prophecies or revelations that's going to come forth in the last days. So we know that we're in the last days because that began at this time because Peter prophesied it did. He said, this is what Joel said back in 100 years ago, and he's just reiterated what Joel said. So it's scriptural, and of course we can read other scriptures, but just laying a foundation, you understand the word, you people that know the word. So we know it's scriptural for visions and revelations to take place. So what I want us to do is go back and look at some visions and encourage ourselves in this area, begin to meditate on these things and begin to study along these lines and listen to what Jesus said, especially where he appeared to Dad Hagin, Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin, in vision format. We called him Dad Hagin as a term of endearment, not disrespect, but great respect, you know, and because he was called by the Lord. And in a sense, we were not following a man. We were following a heavenly vision that come through a man. You understand? And that's what happened when Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin or Dad Hagin went on to be with Jesus. Many people were following the man instead of the heavenly vision. So they thought when the man went to heaven, the vision was over. And it wasn't. It has not been completed yet. It has not been fulfilled yet. There's people right here that are called to fulfill that vision. It is not complete yet. We're called to it. We've still got a job to do. It's not finished. He gave us a revelation of what's going to take place, but he didn't consummate it and carry out the full heavenly vision that come from heaven. So what we're going to do is go back, like the Holy Ghost told me in 2007, the Lord himself told me to go back and pick up these visions. So we're going to pick up. Is that all right? Now, there are a couple of visions that I know about, but I won't say anything about right now that we won't talk about. It's not been publicly released or anything like that, but it's just things I learned from Dad Hagin privately, but it's not time for them to come yet. It's time for these to come. But it's things that's never been published, never put in print, never been put on tape or cassette or MP3s or anything like that. But we've got enough here already that's going to keep us busy. And then the rest of them will come as we go because there's things that must happen in this day, in this time that we live in while you and I are alive. See, what we're trying to do is in the sweet by and by, we will meet on that beautiful shore. And you're waiting for the sweet by and by. The Lord wants you in the sweet now and now. I mean, that's what he wants you on. Don't make me sing tonight. I'm just telling you. Where's that guitar at? My God, here I go. Let's talk about the first vision. that Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin had. This is number one. The first vision he had was in Rockwall, Texas, September the 2nd. We're just going to skim the surface, you know what I mean? Because we can't go in detail in all of these. If we did, we would be here till Bigfoot woke up after the freeze. So we don't want to do that. But I just want to get you thinking along these lines, meditating along these lines, because you're people that want to do it. And I'll guarantee you, if you'll pay attention to what Jesus said in these visions, and glean from them, read them, and study them, I'll guarantee you'll get revelation from them. In line with the Bible now. They don't take place of the Bible. They agree with the Bible. Understand it? And another thing, let's balance it out. Just because somebody said I had a vision from God doesn't mean that we accept it if it does not agree with the Bible. Understand? Anybody that has a vision or revelation, it must agree with the written Word of God. And if it does not, it's a bunch of junk and hogwash. That's one of Dad Hagin's phrases, and I just carry it on from his era into our era. So it must agree with the Bible, because there's a lot of people that claim I've seen this and I've seen that and this is what the Lord said, but if it doesn't agree with the Bible, you don't even have to wonder if it's from God or not. If he can't find chapter and verse in principles, at least don't accept it. But September the 2nd to 1950 in Rockwall, Texas, Dad Hagin was 33 years old. Now, something I take note of and I'll just share briefly about is Jesus entered his ministry at 33, remember? Dad Hagin began to enter into a different ministry when he was 33. You got it. I'm going to jump the seat. You know what I mean? Another thing you need to understand about Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, and again, we don't worship a man. We don't lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, but we give honor to whom honor is due. Isn't that right? Moses, if you'll receive this, just as Moses was a voice to his generation, Dad Hagin was the Moses to our generation. There's not going to be another. And if you don't receive the revelation that came through him, you'll not have what is necessary to put you over in this time. The Lord told me about him and because everybody wondered who's the next Kenneth E. Hagin going to be. He stood at the forefront of the prophetic ministry, the forefront of the apostolic ministry. He stood there because God put him there. You never heard him talk about a lot of that publicly because he was such a humble man. But we talked about it privately. I talked about it privately. He would not lift up himself whatsoever, but he was. And he also knew the Lord face to face. Knew the Lord face to face, just as Moses did. Because after he went on to be with Jesus, then the talk around the ministerial ranks, and I knew, not every minister, but we were all, even me, wondering who's the mantle going to come on now? But like Elijah and Elijah. Remember when Elijah went up and the whirlwind caught him up and he got in that F-250 Ford, you know, and boom, that diesel engine and flew out of here. I don't think it was quite like that. It was a chariot, you know. And it swung him up. It was a whirlwind that caught him and swung him up there. Well, he dropped his mantle representing an anointing, and Elijah went over and picked it up and struck the Jordan River and said, "Where's the Lord God of Elijah?" And all doggone water parted, and he walked across on dry ground. And the sons of the prophet that was up there in Bible school said, "Oh, my Lord, the anointing come on him. Oh, my Lord." Isn't that right? And so it's scriptural to receive impartations, and we did receive impartations. We received impartations. Some of you sitting here received impartations from him. But I was asking the Lord at his funeral, because everybody was saying it's going to be on this one. The mantle's going to come on this one. It's going to come on that. But every time that I heard a name that somebody would mention, I wasn't against the person, but it was just like in my spirit, nope, that ain't it. That ain't it. And it wasn't even audible voice. I just knew it wasn't it. It had a check, stop sign, signal, you know. That's not it. So I just, at the funeral, it was pretty lengthy, you know. And so I had time to converse with the Lord two or three times, you know. And I just said, "Lord, who is going to be the next Kenneth E. Hagin? You know what I mean? The anointing is going to come. It's going to be like him and minister like he did." The Lord said, "Oh, my word will answer that." And Deuteronomy 34:10, he said, "You'll find the answer right there. You can look it up later." He said, "There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." He said, there's not going to be another one like Kenneth E. Hagin, just like there's never been another one like Moses. who knew the Lord face to face in their generation. Nobody had ever had the revelations knowing God face to face like Moses did in Israel. Nobody, ever. He had the greatest revelations and he spent more time with God than any other human being on planet Earth. Moses did. Study it yourself. One time he was 80 days in the presence of God. 40 days, came down, broke the tablet, then went back up 40 more. 80 days in the presence of God. He knew God face to face. And God let him see his hind end. Remember that? He said, Lord, let me see you. God, let me see you. He said, I can't let you see me, you know, it'll kill you. He said, but I'll let you see my hiney when I go by. I mean, I'm just, you know, maybe God didn't say it that way, but, you know. But what he's saying, if you saw me full on, you couldn't handle the glory. And it'd kill you and you'd die. So I'm going to let you see the backside as I pass by. So he put his hand over Moses' eyes. And then when he come by, well, it sounds good to me. Put his hands over his eyes. And then when he come by, he shook it out a little bit and let him see his rear end as he went by. He knew God. I said he knew God. Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin knew God face to face. There were times he spoke to him for over 2 hours face to face. Face to face. He was the sent one, the apostle to our generation. He was the Moses, if you'll receive it, he was the Moses to our generation. There's not going to be another, just like there's never been another one in Israel like Moses. Never. God said there would not be and there wouldn't. There's never going to be another one just like that. Don't mean, Dad, that we won't see Jesus if he allows us to or wants us to. That doesn't mean that we don't have revelations or be caught up in the Spirit, because certainly we will if the Lord allows us and the Lord deems it necessary. But nobody will ever have the same experience or the same anointing that he had. We'll have parts of it necessary to put us over. So we must understand that he was, in a sense of speaking, again, if you'll receive it, the Moses to our generation. So if he was the Moses to our generation, so to speak, in type and shadow, then we need to pay attention to what the Lord told him when he appeared to him. We don't need to lay him to the side, and we don't need to despise it. Ladies and gentlemen, there are people that literally despise what Jesus told him and don't want to hear it. And I'm not against them or attacking them. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm trying to get into these things. You keep dragging me around here. But September the 2nd, 1950, Dr. Kenneth Hagin, Dad Hagin was 33 years old. Jesus completed his ministry when he was around 33. Dad Hagin stepped into another ministry when he was approximately 33 years old. There are some types and shadows there. But remember, they were praying in a tent in Rockwall, Texas. Dad Hagin, it had been raining that day, a slow, gentle, soaking rain, and so there wasn't a lot of people that come out under the tent. There's about 45 people there. I think he counted them. He was wanting to do that, you know. And so he taught a Bible lesson, because most everybody there was Christians, and then invited people to come to the altar and pray. And so when they come down to the altar to pray, he got up and was going to kneel down by the altar, but there wasn't a dry spot left because the rain was running underneath the tent in trickles and streams, you know. And so everywhere there's a dry spot, somebody had already got that spot, you know. Everybody likes the dry spots, you know. And so he just knelt down on this little makeshift wooden platform they had by this old metal folding chair that they had there. And while he was there, the Lord began to speak to him, and he began to seek revelations. In fact, during that time, he went to heaven, and also the Lord took him down to hell. He showed him hell. You can read about it in the book, I Believe in Visions. It's chapter 2, come up here. I'd encourage you, if you don't have the book, get it, and begin to read and study about these things and about these visions. But anyway, he caught him up to heaven, and he stood within 18 feet of the throne of God. He said when he and Jesus walked into heaven, could you imagine 18 feet to the throne of God? He stood within 18 feet. Now, I'm not exactly have no measuring tape or no laser thing, but I'd say 18 feet is close from here to there, somewhere. Getting close, isn't that right? You think we're close? Somewhere. Right? Could you imagine standing that close to the throne of God? He stood within 18 feet of the throne of God. And so the first thing he did, he said he noticed, and if you'll read Revelations later, The Bible says there's winged creatures standing around the throne with eyes all the way around their head. You remember that? He said he noticed them, and he said when he walked up, him and Jesus, these winged creatures were moving their wings and they were saying something with their mouth. Maybe, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who is and who art to come." You never get tired of saying that when you're around God. Oh, you're caught up in the glory, you know. And so he noticed that what those winged creatures did is they folded their wings and became silent when he and Jesus walked up. And then Dad Hagin was attracted to the throne. The first thing he saw when he looked over that way was a rainbow up and around the throne. If he was here this morning, remember I talked about the rainbow. And about how every time you see it, you should know it as a covenant of God because God put it in the sky. It's physical evidence that God meant what he said. We have very little physical evidence. I mean, we see creation, but I'm talking about when God said he put the rainbow in the sky, he did. Regardless of what scientists say and all these weather people say it, God did it. Showing that he had a covenant with man. Isn't that right? So he saw the rainbow around the throne to remind God of the covenant that he had made with the human race. And then he looked and he could see a throne, you know, like a big chair or a throne. And he said he could look and it was like a veil, you know, like lace curtains. You know, you can see through them or whatever you call them things, but you couldn't see good. He said he could make out the figure of someone sitting there, and Jesus noticed him looking at the Father sitting on the throne. And he said to him, "Don't look upon him." So when Jesus told him, "Don't look upon him," he done what Jesus said. If Jesus tells you, "Don't look upon him," don't look upon him. Remember, he wouldn't let Moses look upon him either. He showed him his backside, his hind parts. Isn't that right? But he didn't look upon, he didn't see the face of God. So Dad Hagin was caught up there and he talked to him about the ministry he was called to, how his name should have been called John, for just as John the Baptist was a forerunner of his first coming, his life and ministry would be the forerunner of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, when I say that, the difference between the ministry of John the Baptist, the first John the Baptist, and of course his mama, Jesus appeared to his mama and told him to call him John, and she didn't. It's a long story. You can read about it in the book. I'm just trying to hit some high points and move right along here to get us going because we're following the Holy Ghost. He said, do this, you know. So Jesus had told his mama to name him John, but she didn't because she got discombobulated, confused and everything. And Jesus said, well, it's not, you know, the name wasn't necessarily important, but the work and the ministry is, and you're completed. The difference between the ministry of John the Baptist and Kenneth E. Hagin, there was a difference. John the Baptist encompassed the forerunner of the first coming of Jesus in and by himself, one man. But Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, he encompassed not by himself, but through a movement that would start through him, would be the forerunner of the second coming of Jesus. In other words, it's not just a one-man ministry, but it would be a movement that would be a forerunner of the second coming of Jesus, and you and I are part of that movement. We're part of the forerunner of the second coming of Jesus. So that's the difference. John the Baptist, in and of himself, he encompassed the forerunner of the second coming of Jesus by himself, John the Baptist. But Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, Dad Hagin, a movement or an anointing or an impartation and revelation came that would be the forerunner of the second coming of Jesus. So there's a large group of us across, hopefully, across, especially the United States. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody received Kenneth E. Hagin on the level that we're talking about. And we're not condemning them for not doing so, because some people didn't have the opportunity. But those of us that have the opportunity, we must take advantage of it. The greater responsibility lies upon us to carry this revelation, to carry this anointing, to carry this impartation. If you've been blessed to receive it and know about it, then there's a greater responsibility that's on us to make sure that it happens. One thing that the Lord told me in times past, and I've shared it and I try to share it with every minister I come in contact with, our main our main purpose as ministers of the gospel in this movement is to be protectors of the truth. Protect the vision. Protect the doctrine of the Word of God. Because that's how everything gets messed up. And that's why sometimes people mistake me as being an old fogey and washed up, you know, because I don't go along with every popular fad that comes along. Why? Because I'm a protector of truth, and I don't say that in pride. And I know if I get into any of those things, that I'm going to get away from where God wants me to be, and I'm not going to be protecting that truth and protecting that vision and protecting that doctrine that came from Jesus Christ. Because I am a protector of that truth, and so are you. That's what we're called to do. So that's what he received in that, among other things, you know. And I read in one of the meetings, I think it was in Jamestown, I read in one of the meetings about the vision he had about the horse, a rider on the horse, and talked about some of those things. But anyway, that was the first vision that he had. And that was September the 2nd, 1950. You remember that, right? And that was on a Saturday. You remember that too. And you remember that he was 30 years old during that time. The next vision that he had, major vision, that doesn't mean he didn't have revelation in between, you understand? But the next major vision that he had was in December 1953. In December 1953, you remember he was in Phoenix, Arizona. You know where Phoenix is at, right? He was in the Assembly of God Church out there. Y'all remember that? And so in December 1953, he was 36 years old. You remember that too. And he was in these people's home on a Friday night. So you got to be in these people's home in Phoenix, Arizona. He just got through preaching in the Assembly of God Church. And the ladies were in the kitchen preparing some kind of food and finger foods. You know, said, what's finger foods? That's where you bite your finger trying to find the doggone stuff. That's why they call it finger foods. I've taught everybody over the years. You know, you can't plow a mule half a row on some of that stuff. But anyway, that's what that stuff is. You bite your finger trying to find it. But all of a sudden, he had an unusual urge. You know, you can have an urge, an unction, intuition to pray. But he had an unusual urge to pray. And it was so strong, he knew. I mean, he could have disobeyed it, but it had been hard. But being spiritual, he didn't want to. He said, I got to pray. He said, I got to pray. You know, and he thought about the people that were there. And he realized that these people are Pentecostal people, like you are. They believe God, you know, like you do. He said, I'm just going to tell the head of the house man here in his house. I said, he just told him, Brother so-and-so. He said, I need to pray. I got to pray. And I need to pray now. And he said, well, brother, he said, we'll all join you. He run into the kitchen and said, ladies, cut that stuff off. Cut the butter, beans, the ham, hocks, black-eyed peas, turnip greens and collards, turn them off. New Yorker said, what is that? Turn it off. We going to pray. And he knelt down. When he knelt down in the floor, listen, when the Spirit of God urges you to pray, pray. He said now, if he would have been in a place that people would not have understood how he needed to pray, he would have gracefully dismissed himself and went to his room, hotel, and privately prayed. You understand? So, when the Holy Ghost urges you to do something, and I'll tell you, I said, well, how can that happen to me more often? You want me to tell you? You sure? Are you ready for it? You sure?
Yes.
Would you go in the water? If I told you? You said, yeah, when it freezes, it's going to freeze. I'm going. This is how to have experiences like that. Now, we don't pray for experiences. But how you have more spiritual experiences is when God speaks to you, don't avoid them. Don't tell him to wait. Obey immediately the voice of your spirit. And he'll start using you. He'll start talking to you. You'll be sitting talking to people. I'm telling you, it'll happen to you. You'll be sitting talking to people. Good friends, great fellowship. And the Spirit of God say, what are you talking to them for? I want you to come and talk to me. What are you doing? Don't you know my word says I'm a jealous God? Y'all think y'all jealous? He's jealous. And he gets somebody to talk with him, he wants to talk to you. And I've had him do that. Just say, come on, I want to talk to you. So if you want to have more spiritual experiences, when the Holy Ghost speaks to you, Instantly yield to him. Instantly. Don't put him off. I mean, what I'm talking about is this. Make the determination you're going to obey. I mean, you may not be able to obey that second, but determine in your heart, I'm going to obey. I'm going to have to put myself in a position to do this because I've actually had to move locations to do what the Lord wanted me to do and not hurt people's feelings or offend anybody, you know, and disgracefully get into a place. But the more you yield to the Holy Ghost, like Dad Hagin was in, he said, I got to pray. I need to pray. I got to pray now. He yielded to that. The more you yield to them, and first it will be kind of, when you first start having these experiences, it'll be kind of be indistinct. It won't be like Dad Hagin, but you'll just have an inkling, an intuition, an inner knowing. You yield to that. And then as you yield to that, you'll develop yourself to the point that all of a sudden it's just like the voice of God's talking to you. I mean, it's just so real. The way you have more of these spiritual experiences is yield to the Spirit of God when He speaks. Determined that I'm going to obey. So Dad Hagin did. He knelt down in the chair. He said when he knelt down by that chair in that living room, he said it was gloriously the Spirit of God came upon him. And then he had a vision. I'm not going into the whole vision, but he saw a vision. And he saw the services on a Friday night. Y'all remember it was on Friday night in Phoenix, Arizona. He saw the service that was going to be the following Sunday night. He saw himself preach a message. The Lord gave him a message in the vision. Gave him a revelation, and he had a vision of a man. And he saw himself preaching in the church on Sunday night. Hadn't even got here yet. God knows the past. God knows the future. Isn't that right? Saw himself preaching a message. At the end of that message, he leaned over and pointed to this man. I think he was sitting on the second or third row on this side right here. And he said to him, sir, he said, the Lord shows me that you've been raised to believe that there is no God and there is no hell. He was raised in what is called a universalist home, and they don't believe in hell, you know. And he said, you've been raised to believe there is no God. But he said, the Lord told me to tell you, you got one foot slipping into hell and the other one is now almost gone. And, of course, in the vision on Friday night, he saw this man, after he talked to him like that, get up from where he was at, come down to the altar and get gloriously saved. Never been in a church in his lifetime, this man. But Dad Hagin was praying hard and fast as he can, and the Holy Ghost moved on him, and God prayed him in. God prayed him in through the lips of Kenneth E. Hagin. How many people are you going to pray in? I'm telling you. You can, if you yield to it, but just think if Dad Hagin hadn't yielded to that. But that man, nobody knew to pray for that man. His mom and daddy didn't even believe like that or anything. But God cared about that man. So the time that man got to church Sunday night, it was miraculous how he got there. Dad Hagin had prayed up, over, and in. I mean, it was there. What I mean, Dad Hagin did, he worked with the Holy Spirit. And you yield to him and you become a vessel that he flows through and prays out the will of God in the earth. The way you have spiritual experiences is yield to the Holy Ghost when He speaks to you. And the more you yield to Him, the more you make yourself available to Him, the more He'll use you. He's not going to interrupt your life if you don't want Him to. He's not going to butt into your affairs if you don't want Him to. But I can tell you, I know you. I can just look at you and tell. You want Him to butt into your life, butt into me. Slap me if you want to. My God, come on, do something to me. Poke me with something. Stick me. I don't know. Send Gabriel with a horn. Toodaloo, wake me up. Do something. I want it. I want it. And you can have those experiences. And listen, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, I want them experiences. How do you have them? By yielding to them when they come. Don't try to make them happen. But when He yields and puts something in your spirit, like I said, to start with, it may not be real distinct. It may be indistinct. But you just start practicing that by faith. Start yielding to it by faith. Say, Brother Randy, what if I don't get it right? Join the crowd. Oh, we all missed it. But at least you're heading that direction. Isn't that right? If you missed it, God ain't going to, you know, baptize you in the lake out there. Because, you know, so many people have been baptized out there, it's full of sin. They believe in washing your sins away. You know what I mean? I'm joking. You know what I mean. So yield to the Holy Ghost. So he yielded to the Holy Ghost, but I'm trying to get beyond this, and you keep dragging me back to that man getting saved. At the end of the vision where he saw the whole thing played out, praying for the Holy Ghost, hard and fast as he can, 45 minutes because he yielded to him. He had a vision and got a revelation about the man getting saved. The man got saved. He saw it. And then at the end of it, all of a sudden, there stood Jesus. Jesus stood within 3 feet of Dad Hagin. How far is 3 feet? 3 feet. 3 feet. Dad Hagin's kneeling down, but he's having a spiritual vision. There's different kinds of visions. We're not going into all them. There's 3 types of visions. But anyway, he has a vision, and he sees Jesus. And Jesus talks to him about the government, things that's going to happen. He talks to him about his ministry and things that's going to happen. And afterwards, he said, be faithful. Jesus said to him, be faithful. Now, he saw him just as plainly as we see each other here. He knew the Lord face to face. And then when he got through, Jesus got through telling him, you know, what he wanted him to know. He said, be faithful and fulfill thy ministry, son, for the time is short. Well, if it was short back there in 1953, I think it's a little shorter now. So when Jesus turned to walk away, Dad Hagin said he don't know why he'd done it just like this, but he just had to just come out of him. He said, dear Lord Jesus, as Jesus is walking away in the vision, he said, may I ask you a question before you go? Jesus stopped from walking away from him, turned around, and walked back up within 3 foot of him, folded his hands, and said, you may. He said, dear Lord Jesus, he said, I've got 2 sermons I preached with a lady of the issue of blood. And he said, I got them by revelation, by special anointing. He said, but somehow, he said, when I'm preaching with a strong anointing, it seems like that the Holy Spirit is trying to get another message into my spirit about the lady with the issue of blood that will complement these first two that I got. And he said, sometimes in great anointings in prayer, you know, in prayer, you can be more anointed or less anointed. He said, in prayer, he said, I seem like in my spirit, I'm trying to pick up that there's another message you're trying to get across into my spirit about the lady with the issue of blood that will complement the other two and be a blessing to it. He said, dear Lord Jesus, if I'm right about this, will you give me that message while you're here? Jesus smiled sweetly and said, yes, get you a paper and pencil. He said, my spirit, the Holy Spirit, is trying to communicate this message to you, but somehow or the other, you've been unable to pick it up. So Dad Hagin said he went to scrambling and to grabbing, you know. And he had a couple that traveled with him playing the piano or singing back in those days. And the lady that was traveling with him, she always had a pad and a pen because she didn't know when the Holy Ghost was going to speak, you know. And he'd say something and she'd write it down. So he grabbed that paper and pen. He said, it's new in his spirit. Right now, 1, 2, 3, 4. And Jesus said this. He said, if anybody, anywhere, anybody in Mayville or outside of Mayville or anywhere will take these 4 principles and apply them in their life, they will always receive from me or God the Father whatever it is that they desire. He said, if anybody, anywhere. You are anybody, so you qualify. I qualify. The 4 principles were, he said, number 1, say it. Number 2, do it. Number 3, what was it? Tell it, right? No? Say it, do it, receive it, yes. Then number 4, tell it. Say it, do it, receive it, and tell it. He said, he talked to him and showed him in the Bible. The first thing with the lady of issue of blood, she said, if I may touch but the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. He said, if you'll say, you always first got to say and declare what you want to see come to pass in your life and stay with it. When David fought Goliath, he pointed this out to him. David said it about 5 times what he's going to do to Goliath before he done it. Isn't that right? Say it, do it, receive it, and tell it. Say it. Say good things. Believe it. Amen. Receive it by faith. So this vision happened in December of 1953 in Phoenix, Arizona. He was 36 years old. All right. You ready for another vision? Number 3. This is the 3rd vision I'm going to talk about. In October of 1950, and I know we went ahead to 53, but we're coming back to October 1950. Because remember, there was September of 1950 that had a vision. But right after that, the next month, October 1950, he had a vision. Jesus had told Dad Hagen at one time that when he come to a demon, that he would sense by laying hands on people whether there was demonic activity present. Now, later on, that changed. But if he sensed like fire shooting from both sides of his hands, he'd know that person was oppressed with a demon. Don't mean they're possessed. But he told him to command that devil to come out, and them devils would have to come out in his name. So as he was ministering, he preached, you know, and he was ministering, Dad Hagen did, and he had people come up for the prayer line for healing. And there was one man there that had something wrong with his mind. It was like, he, by his own admission, like he had a band around his head, just tormented and everything. And Dad Hagen put his hands on him and realized there's a demon present. Didn't mean the man's possessed or nothing. It was a demon causing the affliction and the attack on his physical body. Understand? And so Dad Hagen commanded that demon to come out of that man. And it didn't go, you know. And I'll not go to the whole story. I'm sitting up high for us. And the demon didn't go. And then he told him again, and it didn't go. He told him again. Didn't go. So he went on, and the man went back and sat down. And so Dad Hagen was going to walk on down the prayer line, you know, and pray. And all of a sudden, there stood Jesus. I said there, Jesus showed up. And Jesus told Dad Hagen, I mean, right there in church, as big as Ike, Granny would say. He said, I told you to tell the demons to come out in my name and they'll come out. He said, Lord, I told them to come out and everything, and he didn't come out. He said, I told you to tell the demons to come out in my name and they'll come out. He said, Lord, I told them to come out and he didn't come out. And he said again, he said he pointed his finger at him. Jesus did. How would you like for Jesus to point his finger at you? He said, yes, but I said he would. And with that, he disappeared. Jesus did. Now, Brother Hagin decided he better get back on the wagon here. My God, oh, Jesus. He called that man up there and commanded that demon to leave him, and immediately it left. But Jesus showed up to share with him that he wasn't acting in faith and authority like he should. Now, why did he show him that? So he could tell us that. If Jesus told him, then he don't have to appear to us and tell us. We just believe it. We got to receive it. Isn't that right? So when you command the devil to go, he's going to go in the name of Jesus. Isn't that right? So I'm glad you're excited about it. The fifth one we're going to talk about is in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, December of 1952. You remember that. And these are not in yearly order or nothing. But December of 1952. You know where Broken Bow, Oklahoma is? That's down in southeastern Oklahoma. That's down just a little south of the Comanche Mountains. You know where they are. And that's where Bigfoot lives in Oklahoma. Said, how do you know? Because they said so. Said, Brother Randy, he lives here in Mayville. I mean, I think I heard that New York is the fifth largest Bigfoot sighting. Miss Rita, she prophesied this. And the fifth largest Bigfoot sighting state in the United States. Well, they have them out there in Oklahoma. So Bigfoot has frequent flyer miles. He gets around a lot. But so they claim he's down there in the Comanche Mountains. But Jesus appeared to Dad Hagen, Dr. Kenneth Hagen, in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. And this, I believe, too, was 1952 it was. And this is approximately 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, right in there sometime. Him and the pastor were sitting around fellowshipping. The pastor's little daughter was there. I think she was 11 years old. And she happened to mention to her daddy, that was shared in the scriptures, you know, back and forth. And after a church service. And she said to her daddy, Daddy, I got to go to school in the morning. You know, I got to get into bed. Oh, I said, oh, my Lord, honey, you do need to be in the bed. So he said, well, they normally just prayed with her, you know. So he said, let's just kneel down here and pray with her. So he invited Dad Hagin to pray with him. So Dad Hagin got up, pulled a straight back chair out from the kitchen table, and he knelt down there on the kitchen table. And when he did kneel down on by the kitchen table, suddenly he was in the glory. And Jesus appeared to him, and he said, I've come to teach you and tell you about demons, devils, and evil spirits, and how they will even get a hold to Christians if Christians will allow them to. And so in the process of this, remember of Jesus talking to him about this, and I'm not going into detail at all. I'm just stirring up your pure minds about this. You can get the book, I Believe in Visions, and other books by Kenneth E. Hagin, and you can study these for yourself and get more in depth out of it. But a demon ran between him and Jesus while Jesus was appearing to him and talking to him. And Dad Hagin was wondering, why don't that Jesus make that demon stop? Because it was saying yakety-yak, yakety-yak, putting out the smoke screen so he couldn't see Jesus. Why don't Jesus do something about this? And then suddenly, out of frustration and desperation, Dad Hagin said to that demon, I command you to stop and shut up in the name of Jesus. Kerflop, that demon hit the floor, you know, shaking and shivering. He said, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. That thing got up and run off in the spirit. Then Jesus looked at Dad Hagin and said to him something that upended everything he ever thought he knew about devils and demons. And he said to him, he said, if you had not done that, commanded that devil to go, he said, I could not have done it. Dad Hagin responded. He said, I know I didn't hear you correctly. You meant to say that you didn't want to make that devil do anything, not that you could not make the devil do anything. He said, no, that's not what I said. He said, I said, if you had not made that devil go, I could not have made it go. Many times people are harassed by evil spirits and they think God's going to do something about it, but he's not. You've got to take authority over that thing yourself in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when you do, then heaven will back you up and that demon will go. But Jesus went through the scriptures and showed him in the Bible that nowhere in the New Testament is the believer ever told to pray to Jesus, God, the Holy Ghost, or anybody to do anything about the devil for them. But the believer's always told to do something about the devil for themselves. Isn't that right? So in this major visitation in Oklahoma, we learned about the authority of the believer, and that's where the book called The Authority of the Believer was birthed at, born at, that was published by Kenneth Hagin Ministries eventually. He learned about his authority. Not there, but it started there. And it was eventually published. Thank God for it. You've got authority. So why is it important for us to go back and look at these revelations? Because there's, and visions, because there's truths that come to the church that was not readily available until Jesus appeared and gave it. We knew what the scripture said, but see, knowing the Bible and having revelation of the Bible is two different things. Because Dad Hagin challenged Jesus in a kind way. And because when Jesus told him, he said, if you hadn't done this, I couldn't do it. He said, Lord, he said, I've read the New Testament through, you know, 150 times and portions of it more than that. He said, if there's anything in the Bible like you're saying, he said, I sure don't know it. Jesus looked at him and smiled sweetly. And he said, son, there's a lot of things in there that you don't know. And he wasn't talking about knowing the scriptures. He was talking about having revelation of the scriptures. So the visitation from Jesus brought revelation of the scriptures. So you can understand it. There's a difference between just knowing the written word, and we need to know it, don't get me wrong, and having revelation of that written word. Dad Hagin knew the written word and could quote it. Most of it, he could at one time quote 3/4 of the New Testament from memory. Not because he memorized it, just because he supernaturally could do it. But still, he didn't have that revelation. So the reason Jesus appeared in these visions was to bring revelation of the written word. Not contradict the word, but make sure we understood the word. So when he told Dad Hagin that, and then Dad Hagin told us, then that means that Jesus don't have to appear to every single one of us and tell us the same thing. He's busy running the universe, you know. So we should embrace the vision. We should embrace the revelation. I'm glad you're excited. So study them yourself. Number six, Garland, Texas, 1957. Who was born in 57? Give me one, give me two. She's born in 57. Miss Reed, born in 57. Give me another. She'll put somebody. 1957. So you was being born when this happened. So it must be the Revelation year. 57 on our way to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. In Garland, Texas. Y'all know where Garland's at? That's right outside of Dallas, kind of, on the east side, you know. Because it was a country town back then, because Dallas, you're talking about malls. Oh, my God. We used to go down to the market down there. We hadn't been in years. You talking about walking, shopping till you're dropping. You need to get translated. Of course, you have to have special permission to go in that particular place. But there are gigantic malls down there. You know what I mean? But Dad Hagee was holding a meeting in Garland, Texas. He was sitting on the steps of the church. He had just came in off the road, a series of meetings. He'd been on the road, I think, for about a year. And pulling a trailer, you know, a travel trailer. And when he come back off the road, he'd been praying about his wife. She had a goiter. Y'all remember that? A growth on her throat. And they were praying. The spirit of prayer fell on them there in the auditorium that night in the service. So people just started praying. While Dad Hagin was praying, he'd been praying there on the platform. So he got up and sat on the steps, just praying in other tongues. And all of a sudden, Jesus appeared to him about 3 foot from him. Third day he rose, so I guess it's 3 foot. You know what I mean? And Jesus appeared to him. And he said to him, he said, I have come to answer your prayer. That's what he told him. Dad Hagin said immediately he knew what he was talking about because he was praying for his wife, Miss Aretha. Because she was having choking spells. And they didn't, the surgery in that day wasn't like it is in this day. And she sensed that she would die, and he did too if she had surgery. He said, Lord, don't let me lose my wife. He said, let me keep my wife. He said, these children need their wife. I need my wife. And so he'd been praying along that line. Jesus said, I've come to answer your prayer. And he said, you tell her to go and get operated on. Why didn't you just remove the goiter supernaturally? Dad Hagin had laid hands on many people, and goiters and tumors and growths had disappeared. Don't know, but if Jesus says do it one way, just follow him. Yeah. He's not against doctors and medical science. Thank God they can help us. He told her to go have surgery and that she would not die and she'd come through it quicker and heal quicker than the doctor said. But at the end of this vision, Jesus said this to him. He said, oh, how I long to do for my children. If they will only ask me and believe me when they pray and not cry and beg and worry like I'm not going to do it for them. He said, I long to undertake for my children if they'll only come believe me and ask me. So Dad Hagin had the visitation and Jesus appeared to him face to face and he told him, so Dad Hagin told us, so now Jesus don't have to go appear to every one of us and tell us the same thing. Isn't that right? That's the purpose of these things. He brought revelation of the word. That agrees with the Bible. But it brings more light to it when Jesus personally says it. Isn't that right? In this visitation format. So he appeared to him there. And of course, she lived. She had the surgery. She lived and she came through it supernaturally. Number seven, we got to move right along. Seven on our way to heaven, but we're just not getting uploaded now. In Port Natchez, Texas, y'all know where Port Natchez is. It's out there in Texas, right? In 1958, he was around 41 or 42 because he could have been at the end of 41. He could just turn 42. Dad Hagin was holding a revival meeting one night, and a spirit of prayer came around the whole church. And while sitting in a chair on the platform, Dad Hagin saw Jesus appear on the platform with an angel standing 3 feet behind him. Remember that? 3 feet. And Jesus said to Dad Hagin, he said, I sent my angel to speak to you nearly a year ago out in California. And Dad Hagin relayed the experience of an angel coming into his trailer. Remember when he had been out there on the road and speaking up and down there in a thing. He'd come into his trailer that he lived in when he was out on the road. And being prompted by the Holy Spirit to look in the Bible, read about the angels, and he did not follow up on the leading of the Holy Spirit. And Dad Hagin said that the Holy Spirit was trying to warn him about a coming recession, which he did not heed. And the angel was trying to warn him. And because of that, he was still dealing with financial trouble for him. God has sent this angel to tell him there's a recession coming. Get ready for it. Prepare for it. But he didn't obey him. And he told him how he was going to help him out of his troubles. He told him, because Dad Hagin asked him, he said, "Who is that angel there?" He said, "That's your angel. Do you know you got an angel? I know y'all run some of him down. I'm telling some of y'all run him ragged, but anyway, some of us have. But you got an angel that's assigned to watch over you." He said, "That's your angel." And he taught him about ministering spirits and how they sent forth to minister for them who are heirs of salvation. That's found in Hebrews chapter 1, the latter part of that chapter. He talked about that. I told him about them angels and how he should pay attention to them when he sends them to them. And of course, he proved to them in the Bible, because he was questioning, you know, "If you're here, why don't you tell me? Why don't the Holy Ghost tell me?" And then he showed him how angels were used by God to bring messages and tell him. The angels don't do it for you. They tell you what to do. Isn't that right? And so he told him to pay more attention to him. And I know that you did. Isn't that right? And another vision that he had was in El Paso, Texas. You remember this in February of 1959? It was approximately 6:30 p.m. He had fallen off the church platform. Remember that? And dislocated his elbow and all this stuff. And somebody come walking down the hall in the evening, because they had put him in the hospital to check his elbow and put it in a sling, and he's laying up in the hospital bed. And all of a sudden, he heard footsteps coming down the hall, and he thought the door was open 6 to 8 inches, and he heard somebody come. It was a doctor, a nurse, or something. And so when the person got there, he thought there was a doctor, a nurse. They pushed the door open, and he said he looked in that direction, and the first thing he saw, he was looking down at the floor, and he saw sandals on somebody's feet. And then he saw a long white robe. And then he looked up, and it was Jesus. Jesus walked into his hospital room. I said he walked into his hospital room. He pushed the door, the physical door, back to Jesus did. He walked over to the corner of the room. He got a straight back chair. It'd be similar to this. It probably didn't have the good padding that you got here. But anyway, got a straight back chair, pulled it over by the hospital bed, sat down, folded his hands in his lap, and said, "Now I've come to talk to you about what I said to you in the automobile on the way to the hospital the other night." But anyway, in this visitation, out of it, Jesus told him to go teach his people how to be led by the Spirit of God. The book, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God, came out of the visitation. Now, he told him other things too. He corrected him on some things too. But the major revelation that came for our benefit out of that was how to be led by the Spirit of God. So if you want to be led by the Spirit of God, get the book, knock the dust off of it. And study it, read it, meditate on it. But he talked to him about how to be led by the Spirit of God. He talked about being led by the Spirit of God. He said if you have a check, an unction, intuition not to do something, not necessarily a voice or see an angel or vision, but just to check. He said, "You know that's me not leading you to go that way." He said, "But when you're thinking or praying about something, you have this light, velvety-like feeling, sensation, be whether to say it, in your spirit, not in your head." He said, "You know that's me leading you to go in that direction." So the major revelation that came from meditation was how to be led by the Spirit of God. Also, in that visitation, Jesus said, "If my people will learn to be led by my Spirit," he said, "I will make them rich." He said, "I'm not opposed to my people being rich." He said, "I'm opposed to them being covetous, but I'm not opposed to them being rich." Rich means to have an abundant supply. So somebody said, "I'm getting that book. I'm getting that book. I'm getting that book. I didn't know that was in that book. It's in that book." It all has to be led, being led by the Spirit of God. God will show you things. He'll tell you to do things. He may have a deal come your way, do something this way. But it's God. You just follow that unction. And don't chase money. You chase God. You understand? Don't put money on the front burner. You put God on the front burner, so to speak, on the stove. Make God a priority. But he said he didn't mind. He wasn't opposed to his children to be rich. He said he didn't put the wealth of this world for the devil and his crowd here on this earth. He put them here for his children. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I know. And also out of that, there came. He taught him about the permissive will and the perfect will of God. There was something called a permissive will. Dad Hagin had been walking the permissive will. God didn't do that to him. He didn't crack it. He showed him how the devil done it. Because he's walking his permissive will instead of his perfect will. And so it was just also got his attention and got him back on track. Another visitation that he had, and we're getting down. I'm winding down here. Don't give up. We're going to baptize you. But fall in the Holy Ghost. Took place in Houston, Texas. And Pastor Osteen's church. Y'all remember Pastor Osteen? He's in heaven. Dad Osteen, he's the daddy of Joel, you know, Osteen. So he's gone to heaven. But this took place in December the 12th, 1962. Y'all remember that? Who was born in 1962? Oh, she was. Born in 62. So we're hitting the numbers tonight. I'm telling you, we're doing good. 1962. So that must have been a good year. Took place in Houston, Texas. Dad Hagin was approximately right at that time, 46 years old. Dad Hagin was preaching one night in John Osteen's church under special anointing. He was talking about the first vision that he had of Jesus. Remember, we talked about that. And when he realized he had not been fully obedient to what God had told him to do. So he fell down on his knees and started to cry. And as he knelt there by the pulpit in this church while he's preaching, fell down. I said, fell down. And started repenting. While he was there behind the pulpit, he fell into a trance. During this trance or vision, he saw a large garden with white picket fence and flowers all around it. And then he walked up to this garden, and Jesus was there. He appeared, and there was a gate. Jesus opened the gate for him, invited him to come in. And the two went and sat down on a bench under an arbor. You know, that would vines and flowers would grow over it, you know. And Dad Hagin saw a river flowing through the garden. Then as it left the river, it went up into the sky. The river of water turned into a river of people, all sorts of people. And so Dad Hagin saw that what the Lord was revealing to him was that God was going to visit the denominational churches. The charismatic renewal that we had part in. The charismatic renewal would take place. He saw it. He saw God would visit. And the Lord told him during this time, sitting there on the bench. Could you imagine sitting on the bench under the arbor beside Jesus? Could you imagine that? And he gave him revelation about what would happen in the future. But the reason he sat down and talked to Brother Hagin is because he didn't have time to sit around and talk to all of us. He's busy running the universe. But he talked to him how he was going to visit those churches. He's not opposed to people that don't believe exactly like we do. He tries to help them. And he showed how he was going to help them. Isn't that right? So he showed him that he would minister in all kinds of churches, even Catholic churches, Presbyterian churches, all kinds of churches. Not because he basically up to that time ministered in full gospel, Pentecostal churches. I mean, and the Baptist churches opened up again, so Pentecostal churches opened up, and he'd already been in them, Presbyterian, Catholic. And out of that came a move of God that the Lord had showed him, and people would be swept into the kingdom of God, and it did. Thank God for revelations and visions. Isn't that right? Then Dad Hagin was holding an 8-week meeting, and this took place in 1963 in August. Y'all remember that? In Houston, Texas, an 8-week meeting. And two nights out of each week were reserved strictly for prayer. That's what they would do. During one of those nights praying, Jesus appeared to him with an angel. During this time, Jesus told Dad Hagin that his sister would not die from the disease the doctors were dealing with that the family had been praying about. His sister had cancer. You remember the first time. He said, she will not die. That's what he told him. Then Dad Hagin asked Jesus, because there was an angel there with him. Dad Hagin asked Jesus who is the angel was. And Jesus told him again, it was Dad Hagin's angel. See, you got an angel. See, Jesus don't have to appear to you and tell you you got an angel, because he told Dad Hagin he's got an angel. If he's got one, I got one. I've had people in my meetings. I've had people periodically in my meetings see angels standing by me. There's people that's been in my meetings over the years that's seen Jesus standing beside me. But I rarely have ever talk about it, because then people get to looking for the, where's he at? If Jesus wants you to see an angel, you'll see him. If he wants you to see Jesus, you'll see him. You don't have to go looking for him. Isn't that right? And so this angel came bringing a message. He said, he's got a message from you. And so Dad Hagin said again to Jesus, why don't you just give me the message? You're standing here. Why don't the Holy Ghost? And then Jesus taught him about how angels are messengers, are ministers, are sent forth to minister to them who are heirs of salvation. And there were some businessmen that had wanted to set Dad Hagin up in an office because he was operating out of his home. And they wanted to start duplicating. He had the old big reel-to-reel tapes back in those days, you know. And they wanted to start reproducing them for him, you know, and set him up, put him a secretary and all that kind of stuff. And it sounded like a good deal, you know, for him to do that. But this angel said, don't do that. He says, these guys have ulterior motives. And he said, if you accept what they're going to do for you, they're going to control your ministry. And they're going to control what you preach and teach, and they're going to try to dominate you, and you're not going to be able to do what the Lord tells you to do. He said, now, not only don't do that, but know this, by a certain amount of time, you're going to have over $4,000-something, which is a lot of money in that day. To do exactly, you're going to be able to set up your own office, reproduce your own tapes, and print your own books, and you won't have to have somebody else to do it for you like that. And by the way, it came to pass, just like the angel said. But Jesus pointed out, the angel came to give you revelation. Well, I'm here to tell you, angels can bring us revelation. So if one appears to you and gives you revelation, just do what he says. Amen? Just check his driver's license and make sure he's in the Bible. Amen? Maybe get his friends. I'm trying to finish. Can I finish? July 1987. Plans, purpose, suit for 2 hours and 53 minutes. Jesus caught Dad Hagin up in the spirit over Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tulsa, Oklahoma had a big convention center downtown. You remember that? And over that convention center, him and Jesus stood at the top of it. And he showed them what would happen. He gave them a message called Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. And I personally believe that that is the end time message for the church. It is the most disobeyed message that Jesus ever spoke to the church. It's the most despised and rejected message that Jesus ever spoke to the church. The church has not adhered to it. Have not. I remember in 2007, the Lord spoke to me about that. He said, I've been trying to get my people to obey what I told Kenneth E. Hagin since 1987. It's 2007, but it was 20 years earlier. For 20 years, Jesus had been waiting, and he's still waiting today. But people are going in the opposite direction. Get the book, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, and see what he said. There's a lot of good revelation and a lot of good wisdom in that book. All right, last but not least. Now, there's others, but again, we're not going into that and cover it. But last but not least is something that you won't find necessarily published in a book anywhere. But it's where I was personally present. I believe my wife was personally present. Reverend Loketic here was probably personally present in 1986 when the angel appeared to Dad Hagin on the platform. Remember, it was at in the first of 86, I don't know if it was winter seminar, satellite seminar, or something, but he was walking along teaching up on the platform. It's Rooker Memorial. Back then we called it RCA, but now they call it Rooker Memorial Auditorium. And he was walking up there on the platform, and he was teaching and preaching. Dad Hagin was. Then suddenly he just stopped. And he looked to his left, and he said, folks, he said, there stands Jesus right there. There stands right there. There stands right there. He's standing right here on the platform. Now, it's not in books, but he said, I was there when this happened. I believe Reverend Loketic was there when it happened. But he said, there stands Jesus right there. There he is. He said, don't y'all see him? I was looking. But I didn't see him. My eyes had blinders on them. I couldn't see. I had to take my sunglasses off. I didn't see. So he said, Jesus, he said, I know we need to discuss some things. He said, but I'm going to speak to you in tones because they don't need to know what we're talking about. Don't you just dislike that? Why can't Yeah, you know how it goes, you know. We want to hear this. We nosy. We want to know what's going on. We nosy. So he started talking to Jesus in other tongues. He said, yep, Lord, we'll do that. We'll do that. We'll do that. Yes, Lord, we'll do that. Yes, Lord, we'll do that. We'll do that. And I'm thinking, what are we going to do? 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 And Jesus is standing there on the platform talking to him. He's talking to him just like he's talking to one of us. And I knew it was about stepping into a new place in anointing. He said, my wife has part in this. And I remember I was an usher. He walked down the steps and said, honey, I need to lay hands on you. Whoom, the power of God hit her. Boom, knocked her down. He says, what did Jesus say? Well, he ain't told me yet. But I believe it belongs to us. Now, there's many other revelations that came, but this is some of the major visions where Jesus appeared to Dad Hagen. It's not all, but it's the major ones. And I mentioned one there that wasn't published, and there's others that's not published. But we want to do this. We want to make sure that we're open to the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? We want to make sure that we give ourselves to Him. And allow Him, if He speaks to us or leads us or calls us to a place of prayer, that we yield to Him. The more you yield to Him and Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the more He's going to use you. He wants to use you.